escalera, tiene ideas, tiene ideas.
Prepárala, prepara y la tira duro contra la mesa que estaba ahí, depositada contra la madera. ¡Ay, rompe la mesa con tu memoria!
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Drunk Wrestling History. If you've been listening to the last couple shows, then you know I'm not your designated host, Adam. I am one of the wives, Carissa. And with me I have my co-host that barely talks, Shannon. Shannon, say hello.
Hello.
And I'm also not your designated host because I drink, and so does Shannon. So, again, let's see how much of a shit show this becomes. So, first of all, introduce yourselves, boys.
This is Eddie. Woozle Wuzzle.
And this is Scott. Ghetto Blaster time, fool.
And right this very second, we are all doing a shot of Jaeger. Ready?
Cheers.
Nostravia.
Dive. Oof. Oh, man.
Oh, it's so terrible when it hits your lips. Oh, dear God.
At least it was cold.
It was very cold. In addition to that, what are we drinking?
I'm still staying with Corona.
Mm. And by staying with that, by you guys, that's from last week. Obviously, you know we record multiple episodes at a time. So.
Yes.
Scott?
And I'm literally just doing shots of Jaeger in between episodes.
Mm-hmm.
With the Cherry Pepsi Chaser and donut holes.
Yes.
Dude, you're about to be me on like the Tuesday in Texas episode.
Yeah.
I'm way beyond.
No, Scott has been chasing his Jaeger with donut holes for quite some time. It's something to watch.
Glazed
and
donut holes,
and
specifically.
He has a little donut hole dance.
I do, but none of you can see it.
Yeah.
Sorry, just for the present audience.
I mean, we do have social media accounts, so maybe a video should be taken.
Perhaps.
Yes. And Shannon and I are continuing with our bottom shelf wine.
Very good.
And so today, we are talking about WrestleMania 3. Which was the 1987, and that was at the Pontiac Silverdome, brother. Mm-hmm. And bigger, better, badder.
Oh, it was big. It was bad.
Hey.
I guess it was better. It was better than the first two. Eh?
Don't say it was bad. And look,
badder.
No, let badder.
Me just say WrestleMania 3.
Bigger, better, badder.
93-173. True or false?
I don't understand what you just
said. Oh, 93. Oh, okay. So you're making a reference to the attendance record that was set there, right?
Correct.
Pontiac Silverdome, 93,173 people there. That's the number. That's always been the official number from the stadium and from Vince McMahon. Now, Dave Meltzer reports there were 15 people there.
Wonka.
Right.
Is this the one where the Sheik is like, I sold out this
arena? Yeah, the Sheik, the Iron Sheik insists that he sold out this arena.
Yes.
And I mean, look, I'm sure a lot of people bought tickets to see him and Nikolai versus the Killer Bees, right?
He sold it out as much as Tom Zink did.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. Oh, sorry.
Well, that's what the show is. Yeah. So it was at the time, the highest attended WrestleMania of all time. 93,173, like you said. There's been, and the whole thing comes from Meltzer. He's the one guy who started the rumor that there weren't that many people because he got a fax. And he claims that there were more people actually at SummerSlam 92 at Wembley.
Okay, well, look.
Okay.
Nobody cares.
Yeah, fuck him.
Right. WrestleMania 3 in 1987, I'm going to tell you from experience, there has never been a bigger WrestleMania than 3. As a kid growing up, Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant was the pinnacle of what any wrestling fan would want. This card has my favorite match of all time, Ricky Steamboat versus Randy Savage. But as a kid, that match piqued my interest, but I really wanted to know, could Hulk Hogan actually defeat the quote-unquote undefeated Andre the Giant at WrestleMania 3? This was the biggest card of my lifetime. I can't see it being topped by any other match because in 1987, Hogan and Andre were at the top of their game. And you could not pull a better main event than those two guys.
Right. I think the only thing that would be even comparable, like in the modern era, would be Cena and The Rock, right?
Well, that would be it. And we got that back-to-back WrestleManias.
Right.
But I would still
once
say.
But I mean, that was bigger.
Maybe twice in a lifetime.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard next year they're doing a thrice in a lifetime match. But that was like the closest, right? And it wasn't as big as that.
There's no way. I don't know that they will ever, they being WWF, WWE, will ever top the magnitude of what was Hogan and Andre in 1987.
Yeah, and even watching it, like when I used to get it on VHS from Blockbuster, even watching it, like it felt, because you could just see the size of the stadium, it felt huge, and they're driving the little rings to the ring, you know, because the entrance was so far.
The ring carts.
Yeah, the ring carts, they were like little car. It was like a little ring. If you haven't seen this, they're like a little mini wrestling ring that was driven with like a car ramrod, if you will. That's how people got to the ring. They didn't actually walk, which was kind of weird because they didn't. I mean, the entrances weren't as big of a deal back then anyway. Kind of guys just walked to the ring,
right?
As compared to now, where they have a pose and everything. Very few people had music back then,
right?
But even just like seeing the size of it with those rings, you know what I mean? It was just like, wow, it's so far that they need a ride.
They made it look like a big deal, and they did not use those carts again until WrestleMania 6.
Which was the next stadium show.
And yes, because they did Trump Towers at 4 and 5.
Not Trump Tower, Trump Plaza.
Whatever.
Which wasn't Trump Plaza.
Whatever.
Yeah, we've talked about this before.
We've covered this.
Yeah.
But they made it look like such a big deal on TV. And I would say the next closest thing that they had at that time was Hogan and Warrior at 6.
Mm-hmm.
They had the ring carts again. But in my lifetime, and I'm 45, I've been watching since 1984.
So old.
Very old. You'll never top Hogan and Andre in terms of magnitude, draw of the match, a must-see pay-per-view.
Yeah.
45, fuck.
Very, very old. I'm closer to 50.
Well, that's my next question. I thought you were 46, but whatever.
Almost.
So I think we've established that I'm a newer wrestling fan, but even Noob. I think... Thank you. I think even at that point, I mean, I was 6. I'm a young woman compared to you, Scott. So
many people are.
But I mean, for both of you, were you wrestling fans at this point? Did you watch this live?
I didn't watch it live. I was a wrestling fan at this point.
Because you would have been like 8?
I would have been March 87. I would have been, 8. Yeah. Mm. So I think I remember stuff previous to this. I remember like the setup. I didn't see the show. I didn't see it for a couple years. Like, honestly, I don't think either I didn't have a VCR or there was no video store that had the show. I saw 4 before I saw 3.
So the video store at the greenhouse?
Yeah. Right.
They had the one in the far corner over by Safeway. They had WrestleMania 3.
But when did they get it?
Like right after the event aired, because that's where I rented it at least 18 times.
I rented it there too. So did you
see it live?
No.
But you guys
bought it. I did not.
But you rented it immediately.
Yes. So, I actually got the results from the newspaper on this one. I was 13 when this match happened or when this card happened.
Wow. Yeah.
So very old.
You were born at WrestleMania -10.
In the year of our Lord, 1974. Yes. And I was not able to get... My buddy Big Dave did. He was able to get this one live. And he actually called me after and he wrote down all the results. Gave me all of the results because I had to know who won. I could not wait. Isn't that cute?
It's adorable.
Does Big Dave listen to the podcast?
Shout out Big Dave.
Shout out Big Dave if you are. Yeah. Let us know that you're listening. He actually...
if you're not listening, what the fuck?
What the hell?
Yeah, suck it.
God, fuck you guys. So I actually got the results from Big Dave, and then the following day clipped it out of the newspaper because I had to know everything that happened. But this, in terms of magnitude...
Remember newspapers, you guys?
Remember those? They get thrown on your doorstep every morning?
Not anymore.
WWE has yet to top this, at least in my opinion. I was 13 when this happened. I'm 45 now. They have not topped WrestleMania 3 with a main event that really required you to tune in to see who's going to win this thing.
I mean, even the poster is compelling. I mean, like, to see that, I'm looking...
Oh, yeah, Hogan and Andre staring each other down,
There's like 2 feet separating them.
Look how little Hogan looks. Hogan is a giant dude.
Yes, and the gimmick was that Andre the Giant was undefeated.
Right.
For 15 years.
It wasn't true.
It wasn't true.
We didn't know that.
Okay.
That Hogan and Andre had actually...
It's not the time of social media, right?
So, or the internet.
Whatever, yeah.
Yes.
Well, and that was that quote I sent you the other day where it was... When the immortal Hulk Hogan slammed the 15-year undefeated Andre the Giant in front of 93,173 people, he ended Andre the Giant's undefeated streak and set a record for the most lies in one sentence.
Yes, exactly. And you know what? I mean, in many respects, that is true. We don't know about the 93,173.
Right.
We'll dispute it till our dying day.
I won't. I accept it.
Yeah, I accept it too. Because as you said, Ed, when you watch this match back on the network, kayfabe, pulling back the curtain a little bit, we are actually watching WrestleMania 3 right now on the TV behind us on mute.
We are.
You look at that crowd.
Yeah, this is my life.
Yeah. God bless the network. Best thing of the past decade. You look at that match now on television, and you can see how big that crowd is. 94,000 yeah. people absolutely turned up in Detroit
yeah.
to see Hogan and Andre. Again, strong undercard, and we'll get into that. But the highlight, Hogan and Andre, WWE will never top that main event, ever.
Absolutely. I think I don't think there's a way to do it, because I think, like you said, how do you have a guy with a 15-year undefeated streak? Like, the closest was Undertaker, and that's over with, but he wasn't even undefeated. He was just undefeated at WrestleMania.
Right.
You'd have to have 15 years of investment into something like this to make it happen.
And again, the hottest property in wrestling, which was Hulk Hogan.
Right, right.
Going
right,
against exactly. a 15-year undefeated streak, there was no way that they, I mean, like, they almost jumped the shark in 1987. You know, there was no way they were ever going to top this. And in my opinion, now in 2019, they have not topped it.
I agree.
Biggest main event of yeah. all time. So not the greatest.
The oh,
biggest,
fuck no.
The
no.
biggest.
No, it's probably the worst main event of all time.
Well, look.
Besides LT.
Okay, but in 1987, Andre the Giant was not what he was, even in, say, like 1985 in WrestleMania 1. He was not the same Andre the Giant. And every year, you could see his steady decline.
Oh, yeah. By 3, he was a massive, bloated, disgusting shell of himself.
It wouldn't. That's
you know Andre?
Yeah.
Did yeah.
you guys see the documentary? I cried so hard.
Yeah, it's a great documentary.
So sad.
It's incredible.
Watch it. It's the saddest thing I've ever seen.
It really, if you have not yet watched it, if you've got HBO,
oh
you
God,
need
you
to check
to
it out.
Watch it.
Yeah, if right. you're a wrestling fan at all, get to know Andre the Giant through yeah. that documentary.
Well,
absolutely. It's incredible.
I know Andre the Giant because I love Princess Bride.
Princess Bride, yes.
You know, and I mean, there was a couple wrestlers in the 80s, and then even in the, like, I mean, everyone knew the Attitude Era, but in the 80s, there was two wrestlers I knew, and it was Hogan and Andre.
Right.
And that's it. Like,
oh,
I mean,
not Coco Beware?
Shockingly, no. Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at this card, and the only other one I recognize several of the names, but I mean, I love the Ricky Steamboat, but that's recent. Because when
he
I
was
started,
at 25, so when, was Roddy
well,
Piper.
But when I started watching, I mean, I saw Roddy Piper of wife swap.
Wife thing. Swap with Ric Flair.
And that was amazing.
Yeah, he banged Ric Flair's wife.
You guys
good
also,
for him.
He super did not, you guys. But
well, that's not what wife swap means.
That's what
I'm confused.
That's what I thought it was.
I'm watching the wrong type of porn, apparently.
You guys, it's damn it. You're all idiots.
No, so, you should check out Lars Sullivan's porn. That's what I got.
Oh, that I hear yeah. it's good.
But no, I'm like looking. Like, I mean, I love Ricky Steamboat. Like, oh, I love him. So
he's a man.
But I mean, when I was a kid, I knew two wrestlers, and it was Hogan and yeah. it was Andre.
And that's to your
totally.
Point.
And I did not watch wrestling. I was not a wrestling fan. I had no idea about wrestling, but I knew them.
Yeah. And to your point, that's why WWE does not stand a chance of ever topping this main event in 1987. They literally pulled out the best card they could play, and that was Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant.
No, you're right.
And they knew they had to fill the Silverdome, brother, and put 94,000 asses in the seats. What's the best match we can put on? Hogan and Andre, mission accomplished.
That's it. That's all,
no,
man.
No, I mean, kids these days. But, I mean, like, for real, though, you don't – it's not that big. They're not household names. But,
right.
But they were.
Yes,
you know?
Absolutely.
So let's dive right in.
Dive.
So the curtain jerker, the Can-Am connection.
Yeah.
Rick Martel and Tom – Zink.
Yeah.
Zink.
Defeated Bob Orton. Is that Randy's?
Randy's dad.
Father. His father, yes.
And the Magnificent
Morocco.
With yeah. Mr. Fuji.
So for me watching this match, I was like, first of all, Tom Zink sucked.
Come on.
He was trash. He had
no,
a great look.
I don't agree with that at all.
I don't
all.
Know, dude. I mean, to me, he was like severely lacking in charisma. Martel was the star.
But that was okay. Because tag teams didn't need two guys with a shit ton of charisma.
Well, yeah,
it was okay to have a guy of Martel's magnitude, who's a former AWA
right.
World Heavyweight Champion, teaming up with a green
that's
guy
true,
like
that's
Tom
true.
Zink.
Okay,
and carrying him as a because Tom Zink could only get better. He had the look, the physique. He was a good-looking guy. He could be built up over time. And you could tell in this match, Can-Am Connection were the next guys in the tag team ranks that were going to beat the Hart Foundation.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
So, I mean, to me, Randy Orton is the best technical wrestler in the world.
He's amazing.
Yeah, so he's my number one.
How is Bob Orton?
Like, Bob Orton was great.
He was a great hand.
I've never seen him wrestle. I don't know what he looks like. I have no
He was like...
I knew Randy Orton was a legend. Like, he would have been the, was a legend.
He would have been like the Randy Orton of the 80s, right? Like, he did a lot of moves. Like, he did the superplex, right?
The superplex, yes. And I mean, I still don't know if his arm is better, though.
No, he still has the cast on.
It's still with the cast, yeah.
Yeah, I saw him at a WrestleCon recently, yeah.
And you're like, how's the arm, yeah. Bob? And he said...
Not well.
Not well, Ed.
Yeah, well, you know, we're praying for him.
We are. Thoughts and prayers.
No, Bob Orton was really, really good. He was one of those guys... It was a different time back then.
He was a good hand.
He was fantastic. Yeah, he was really good. Everything he did looked good. He was like everybody was back then. Everybody was safe.
Same as Morocco. And that's why they made such a good team.
They were a great team. And Morocco, I think, was actually one of the more underrated guys back then.
Agree, yes. And the dude could eat a sandwich and beat somebody's ass.
Right. I was just going to say, did you ever see where he ate the meatball sandwich during the match?
He jobbed that motherfucker out, dude. Like, he ate a sandwich and beat your ass.
Like, way to fuck a guy over, right? Like, if you want to destroy a guy's career, eat a sandwich while you beat him up.
Yeah, a meatball sub.
Yeah, so this was like, it had to be like 82, 83, right?
Oh, gosh,
it was before they went national, like, I think when
early
they were still taping
mid-80s.
TV in Pennsylvania. Yeah. And Morocco's getting in there, and he's just beating the fuck out of this jobber, and he'll, like, hit him a few times, kick him while he's down, and then go to the corner. Was Blassie his manager? Because someone was holding the fucking sandwich.
It was either Blassie or Fuji.
Fuji.
Yeah, it was one
Fuji
of the two.
Fuji was his manager. Fuji's holding a meatball sandwich for the guy, and he ate like half the sandwich during that match. It was incredible.
Yeah,
incredible.
I think you do need to do something pretty ballsy to have the Magnificent in front of your name.
It was magnificent. Yeah. It was a magnificent sandwich, too. It looked very good.
It really did. And he was a former IC champion as well. So those two guys were very believable as a team.
What does Can-Am mean?
Canadian and American.
Oh, that's stupid.
No, it's terrible.
Well, yes and no. Martel was Canadian.
No,
Zink was American.
I get it. It's stupid.
It's stupid.
Well, don't here's the thing it. Is why didn't they call Martel and Tito Santana, which Tito Santana replaced Tom Zink, in the Can-Am Connection, why didn't they call it the Can-Mex Connection instead of Strikeforce?
Or NAFTA.
You guys, this is stupid. The conversation's stupid.
We're talking about the curtain jerker, right? Can-Am Connection 1.
Second match.
Host says we're moving on.
No, please do. Like, we're gonna go into like the fucking Can-Am wormhole and never come out of it.
Yeah.
And we're gonna do like an hour and 45 on that stupid team like we
stupid.
Did a couple
this
weeks
ago. This conversation was stupid.
It's very dangerous.
On.
Let's
yeah,
move
yeah,
on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Singles match. Billy Jack Hayes versus Hercules with Bobby Heenan, and it ended in a double countout.
So, to me, this is one of those. It's not on the level of Boogeyman
Booker T
underrated WrestleMania matches, but it's up. It's in that realm, right? It was a very underrated match. I thought both of these guys were really good.
Incredible physiques, like both definitely Vince McMahon.
They had
guys.
To be like the best body guys at the time, right?
Yes,
right.
For sure.
I mean, they were more ripped than Hogan and Rude
Way
wasn't there
more.
Yet.
Yes,
I mean, these guys look like they would beat the fuck out of you, and they beat the fuck out of each other in this match.
Yes, they
beat
did.
Just fucked each other up. I mean, it was stiff, just punches and forearms,
full Nelsons.
Yeah, I mean, it was a full Nelson challenge, right? So you had to win with, which is stupid. They had to win with a full Nelson. They beat the shit out of each other.
They really did.
Yeah, I loved it.
Billy Jack even pulled out a full press of Hercules and threw his ass down.
He picked him up like he was nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He picked him up like he was like picking up Brie Bella or something.
Yeah, like nobody's business. Just
right.
Slammed his ass.
So it ends up with a double DQ because they went into a full Nelson outside the ring.
Correct.
But your favorite part of, I think, the entire pay-per-view happened while they were outside the ring.
Well, it's definitely one of the highlights is when they're on the outside and Billy Jack, like a dumbass, puts Hercules in the full Nelson outside of the ring instead of inside of the ring, but is so blown up from the match, he proceeds to vomit on Hercules' back. Here's the worst part.
Is that real?
Yeah,
yes.
He really vomited.
The worst part, the camera catches it full on.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to throw up right now. I don't know. <what's happening.
laughs> Billy Jack literally throws up on Hercules' back.
Don't leave the mic if you throw up, please.
Yeah.
We're trying to get more subscribers.
Vomiting stories are funny.
Yeah, it was great. He threw up. And Billy Jack doesn't look like a guy who should be blown up, right? I mean, like, he looked like he was in great shape, but he was fucked.
And like, normally you think, like, vomiting is reserved for, like, TNA pay-per-views and things of this nature. But
by the audience.
Correct.
Right.
But no, Billy Jack took it next level, and he's like, I'm going to beat you with the full Nelson and going to throw up on your back.
Yeah. I mean, maybe he wasn't blown up. Maybe it was really, like, that's his finisher. That's his new finisher, brother.
Well, and as Lars Sullivan will tell you, it's not the first time a dude has finished on another guy's back. But
pow!
Billy Jack totally finished on Hercules' back. Vomiting. I mean, vomiting.
I'm going to...
Oh my God, I'm sorry.
Fist bump me for that joke. That was great.
I just choked on my wine.
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
Yeah. So, fuck, dude.
I think we're done.
Boy, we're done with that match.
What's a loser must bow match? Harley Race is a really cool name, but he was with Bobby Heenan and the Fabulous Moolah. I thought Moolah was like a billion years old at that point.
She was. She was about 320 years old.
And he beat a junkyard dog.
Junkyard dog. Yeah. And it was... It was a shitty match.
It really was.
Just tell me what loser must bow means.
And well, so the loser, so Harley was the king, right?
King Harley Race.
He'd won the king in a ring, right? So he was
literally
like,
had a robe.
He was the original Baron Corbin.
A cape and a crown. Yes. Right. Baron Corbin.
I'm really enjoying Baron.
Harley Race was the first king of wrestling.
Yeah.
Oh, it was king of the ring.
Yeah, king of the ring. Well, yes.
Which was,
exactly.
It was a house show, right?
Yeah,
it was
he wanted like a house show.
Like in Columbus or something.
Yeah, and that crown went on to Haku, Macho Man Randy Savage, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Mabel. Many others, Steven Regal, Mabel, and most recently, Baron Corbin. So yes, the lineage of the king of the ring began with Harley Race.
Well, that's interesting.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so the whole idea was whoever lost the match had to bow to the other. Well, unfortunately, Junkyard Dog lost, had to curtsy to Harley Race, but in a huge heel turn.
Right.
But did not turn him heel, proceeded to beat the shit out of Harley Race after the match, took his robe, took his crown, pranced around the ring in it as a face.
Wait, Fabulous Moolah did this?
No,
Junkyard Dog did this.
Oh, I don't enjoy that.
As a face. Yeah, very surprising move. Like, I did not see that coming.
It was surprising that Harley won in the first place, right? Because Harley was about 90 when this match happened.
92 or 93,
something like that, right? And Dog was a younger dude, although Dog didn't have that great of a career after this. For being like a legendary guy, like Dog didn't have the greatest career.
Well, like his next biggest moment, I believe, was WrestleMania 4. And being when the third man thrown
Battle
out
Royal, right?
Of the Battle Royal, yes.
Yeah. But you would have thought at the time, if you're going to invest in someone, it's not Harley, it's Dog.
Yeah, it would
be
Junkyard Dog.
But I mean, I guess in a way they did, because like the match did end with Dog was on top.
And as you mentioned with Harley Race too, like WWF would not mention previous history of a guy.
Right.
Them giving Harley a win at WrestleMania was almost like a nod, like, we recognize your lineage in wrestling, what you've accomplished.
Right.
Here's your win at WrestleMania. Let's move forward.
One thing, the one thing about this match that stood out to me is Harley did a diving headbutt from the apron to the floor.
Oh,
which
yeah.
was crazy. I mean, that's a stupid fucking move, to be honest with you.
Hardcore.
Like, why would you headbutt someone off of something? Like, that's stupid. A headbutt's like a last resort move, right?
Yeah, but that was Harley's thing.
That's a bar fight move, but why would you fall onto someone with your head?
Right.
Fall onto it with your knee or your elbow or something. But, I mean, it's a dangerous move, even in wrestling. But he did it off the apron to the floor. Like, that was pretty... I was impressed.
Yeah.
You know?
For sure.
Yeah.
Impressive. The next tag team match, the Dream Team, which is Brutus Beefcake and Greg Valentine with Dino Bravo. Let's get this be more Italian. And Johnny...
not Italian at all.
For fuck's sake. defeated... what's that word? How do you say that?
The Rougeau brothers.
Oh, Rougeau. Another Jacques... So the Italians beat the French?
Close.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
Oh, you want to talk about Dino Bravo, that being Italian, he was killed by the mafia.
True.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah,
Canadian killed by the mafia.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
No, like in real life?
In real life, yes. God. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. No, wrestling's not that crazy. They didn't actually have a mob hit on a wrestling challenge.
My uncle was killed by the mafia.
Whoa.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
No, for real.
Yeah, she's a G.
Yeah, no, I am a guinea brat.
Yeah.
He said that in front of my dad, and he thought my dad was going to kill him.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, no, my uncle was a police chief
okay.
in Aetna, which is a suburb of Pittsburgh, and he ran numbers. And, I mean, that's what we all think. He died mysteriously.
Mysteriously.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Much like Dino Bravo.
He did a Bravo.
Mysteriously, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and that was... I don't know. I didn't understand the Dream Team. Like, Beefcake and...
Valentine?
Valentine just, like... I don't know. They didn't make sense to me. Like, Valentine was hella... just like boring and plain, you know? And Beefcake had, like, the tights. You know, he was very flamboyant. It was a weird thing. They never made sense to me. Johnny Valiant was, like, hard to look at.
What?
You know what I mean? I never liked this team.
Former tag team champions, though.
Yeah, so what?
Well, and the whole outcome of this match was the Dream Team got their last win. Thank you to Dino Bravo.
Right.
Brutus Beefcake was mad at the result for whatever reason, even though his team won, was right. mad at the way that they won. Dino Bravo, Johnny Valiant, Greg the Hammer Valentine leave together, leaving Brutus Beefcake in the ring, victorious over the Rougeau brothers.
Yeah.
And that would go on to play a role in a match coming up later on the card.
Yes, it would. And I think, was this the end of Johnny Valiant?
It was not the end of Johnny Valiant because he continued to manage Dino Bravo and Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Well, when did Bravo hook up with Frenchie?
Frenchie came along later during Dino's single run. And then Jimmy Hart came in when Earthquake came in, and he managed Dino Bravo and Earthquake together.
Right,
Johnny continued to have a run with the new Dream Team after the split of Valentine and Beefcake.
Right.
And which is really strange because they had just lost the tag team champions the year previous.
Right.
To the British Bulldogs. Yeah. And here they are a year later splitting up at a WrestleMania. That's a pretty significant moment.
Well, listen, when you come up with a gimmick as great as the barber, you don't sit on that. You make it happen now.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. And it's funny to joke about that now, but in 1987, that barber gimmick was no fucking joke, dude. Like, Brutus the Barber Beefcake was the shit in the late 80s.
Dude, he was my second favorite wrestler.
He was fantastic.
Was he, like, legit a barber? Like,
I don't think it was his side hustle, but he cut hair in the ring.
Yeah, they used to show these videos where he would be cutting people's hair.
Like,
he was an Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah, no.
No, he was
not Edward Scissorhands.
He was nearly beheaded.
The Barber of DeVille.
Yeah.
The Barber of DeVille.
He's the Bugs Bunny cartoon.
Seville. No, he
no, he was.
I'm
he was.
Other movie.
But. He was nearly beheaded.
Movie. Yes.
Ron Bass almost beheaded him.
Well, he did, and that's the weird thing too. To kind of go off topic a little bit, yes. Ron Bass actually sparked the global phenomenon known as the Ultimate Warrior.
And that's why I hate Ron Bass.
And the Ultimate Warrior.
Warrior couldn't help it.
Are we done there?
Yep.
We are done there.
That's enough of that bullshit, man.
Yeah, okay. So I have so many more questions. Hair versus hair match?
Yeah, so that was Roddy Piper versus adorable Adrian Adonis.
Yes.
Oh,
and that's, you alluded to that earlier with Beefcake.
With Beefcake, yes.
So this was, they built this as Piper's last match, right? You knew going into it.
Piper was leaving regardless of the outcome.
Right, it wasn't a retirement match. It was, I'm retiring.
I'm out of here.
Because he had to go film Froggy Goes to...
Wait.
I think it was They Live.
Okay, They Live. What was the other? Hell Comes to Froggy Town or... Froggy.
Is that really? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He was going to film a movie.
No, I mean, he retired that long ago?
Yeah, but he was only gone for a year. Or,
quote unquote, retired.
Yeah, he was 2 years because he came back at 5. He was gone. He retired for 2 years.
Yeah, with Robert Downey Jr.
Hell Comes to Frog.
Or no, Robert Downey.
Morton Downey.
Morton Downey, thank you.
Hell Comes to Frog.
Hell Comes to Frogtown. Yeah, so his career didn't exactly set Hollywood afire.
Apparently not.
Yeah.
Not like Hogan's did.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Hell Comes to Frogtown wasn't exactly my breakfast with Blassie.
I think we're gonna. What the fuck is a hair versus hair match?
So the loser gets his hair cut by the winner.
Oh, that's it? That's stupid.
That's it. But you can see, going back to the last match, how we were talking about Brutus the Barber Beefcake. Piper beats adorable Adrian Adonis with a sleeper.
No, but did Brutus cut the hair then?
And Brutus came down to the ring.
There we go.
Cut adorable Adrian Adonis' hair, became Brutus the Barber Beefcake, and one of the biggest faces of the late 80s.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like it.
Yeah.
And Rowdy Piper got to march off into the sunset. Well, at least until WrestleMania 5.
For 2 years.
Yeah.
Well, until Wipeout.
Yeah. So what was the next match after that?
Six-man tag. Dangerous Danny Davis.
That son of a bitch.
Bret Hart, Jim Neidhart, and Jimmy Hart defeated the British Bulldogs, Davey Boy Smith, and Dynamite Kid, and Tito Santana.
Okay, so when I was watching this the other day, Dynamite, going into this, was Dynamite, okay, so we recently talked about it too. That's when I thought Dynamite fucked his back up, and you kept saying it was at a house show, right?
It was at a house show that happened in December of 1986.
Yeah, because he didn't really do much in this match, right?
No, they had lost the tag belts in around January or February of 87. And going into this match, Dynamite was still fucked, dude.
He was
in no shape to wrestle.
Yeah.
Which is why Tito was put, who was a workhorse, was put into this match. And he and Davey Boy carried the load.
Right.
I'm sorry. I meant Sweeney Todd before when I was saying.
Thank you. That's what I was trying to remember too. The Johnny Depp flick, yes.
I was like, I need the resolution.
Thank you.
Continue.
So, yeah, Dynamite's back was fucked in this match. Because I watched it and I was like, oh, damn, like Dynamite was in bad shape. So I was like, he obviously wasn't there with a fucked back for 2 years or a full year. Did I just unplug my mic?
Are you serious?
Hang on. I think I...
Or did your headphones get unplugged?
Okay. I unplugged the headphones. Yeah, so you were right. So watching the show, I was like, okay, you were right about Dynamite's back. So December...
November, December, 86, somewhere in there.
Okay.
In a match against Morocco and Orton, actually.
Okay. Was it the spot that I said? Did they do the same spot with the headbutt on the top?
No, he just kind of fell weird, and his back was jacked, and that was the end of the Bulldogs, essentially.
Okay. Good for him.
They continued to have more matches. you hated Dynamite, so yes, good for him.
Yeah.
In your mind.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Butch Reed with Slick defeated Coca Beware with apparently his tiny parrot.
Okay, so what match was after this?
Ricky Steamboat, George Steele. Oh, singles match for WWF Intercontinental Championship. Ricky Steamboat with George Steele defeated Randy Savage with Miss Lou.
I'll let you start with this because it's your favorite match.
It is. It since you love it. 87.
I love the Ricky Steamboat.
Ricky Steamboat is...
He's so adorable. Can we just talk about how adorable he is?
He's adorable?
With his little kid?
Yeah, you love that.
And you know what's funny? That, I think, was the downfall of his character.
Absolutely.
And his career in the late 80s. Yes. Yeah. He went so family heavy on his character that I think it crippled his character.
He was soft.
To where, that's exactly right.
Yeah, he seemed like a little bitch.
He went soft. Yes, because then he's facing guys like Ric Flair and people are like...
But Kofi just did that, and you're not like, oh my God, Kofi.
It's a different time.
It was a different time.
Different time.
And absolutely, because he pulled that in WCW when he was going against Flair for the World Heavyweight Championship, and it killed his character.
Right. Kofi did that after winning the championship. Ricky Steamboat did that in a first-round tournament match at four.
Yeah, and he hinged his entire character on, I'm a family man, here's my wife, here's my kid. Nobody wants to see that. Really, not in 88. Guys didn't want to see that. That would kill your character.
Right.
It's okay if you bring it out after the match, and I agree with you, now it's a different time.
Yeah.
But in 1988, that shit could almost turn you heel without making you heel.
Right.
Like, you were still cheered
to an extent.
Yeah, right. Back then, I wanted to believe that the babyface was banging ring rats after the match.
Right.
In the car before even leaving the stadium.
Right.
Right. And then picking up some more at the airport lounge.
Right.
It's a different time that women watch wrestling now. We have hearts.
Thanks for ruining wrestling.
Yeah. Greatest match of all time.
You're welcome.
That's just my opinion. Savage and Steamboat put on a clinic. So many people have said it's their favorite of all time. Sasha and Bayley from the TakeOver, NXT TakeOver, is my second favorite match of all time. But this one, in my mind, it was so highly choreographed. And I get that. But kudos to Randy Savage for recognizing that maybe it needed to be and to make it an all-time classic.
Was
Look, Savage...
after that crap we saw earlier?
No. It wasn't the flippy shit, that same kind of stuff that you saw, like...
Exactly. It was choreographed, but you couldn't tell it was choreographed.
Exactly.
It was realistic. It wasn't Will fucking Ospreay. It wasn't you know, the Bucks, any of that stuff.
Right.
Which, well, I mean, that's fine for what it is. That's, it's just a different, it's not my thing. It's
it was
fine.
Move for move. But it wasn't the flippy, like, you're pulling your opponent it up. It looked like a real match.
You never could tell by looking at that that it was choreographed. You would never.
Right.
I didn't know till like 10 years ago how much Macho Man worked out that match beforehand.
One of the reasons I started enjoying wrestling, and when I started watching it, the way you explained it to me, you know, I realized how choreographed it was, and, you know, just like everything else, like, you said, oh, well, it's fake, you know, well, movies are fake. Do you like those?
But, right, exactly.
Also, I used to be a dancer, and he's like, well, dancing is choreographed, you know, like, don't you love that? And I was like, well, motherfucker. but, yeah, you can't tell the choreo, you know, like, I mean...
You can't see it.
And you don't know how much, I mean, and I guess it depends, like, I think it varies wrestler to wrestler, right? Like, or match to match, like, how much they do choreograph it.
Yeah, for
or,
sure.
Like, we're just going to call it in the ring, or we're going to do this, yeah. Or, you know, like, or maybe we have every move mapped out.
Yeah,
you know?
It depends on the guy, and I, actually, from what I've heard, Macho was the one guy back then who would work his matches out a lot beforehand.
Move for move.
Right, he was not a call it in the ring guy.
Right.
Which is crazy when you think about when they were working 5-6 nights a week. Like, how do you come up with that every night? I mean, I guess you could do town to town on house shows, you could kind of do the same thing every night.
Yeah.
But they didn't always work the same guy every night.
Right.
You know, like if they came and did the Cow Palace and did Oakland, right? Back to back nights.
Like a sheet. He's like, here's my choreography. Learn it, bitch.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, but that's like one of those things where it's like Macho Man was really good at that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was incredible.
Good.
Yeah.
Honky Tonk Man with Jimmy Hart defeated Jake Roberts with Alice Cooper.
Alice Cooper made the match, right? Honky Tonk and Jake were like, they were cool, they were fine.
I have so many questions.
Well, Jake had just recently turned babyface, right? And Honky Tonk was really new. Honky hadn't been there long at all.
No, this really got Honky over as, okay,
yeah.
Here's your next established villain.
Exactly. And they put Alice Cooper and Jake's, because it was Detroit, right?
Yeah, and so the funny part was Ozzy was at 2 the year previous, and now they got Alice Cooper at 3.
Wait, I'm sorry. Wait, what?
The Ozzy Osbourne was in the corny. I went Jim Cornette there. Was in the corner of the British Bulldogs and Captain Lou.
Yeah, yeah.
The Ozzy Osbourne. Yes.
Yes.
The Ozzy Osbourne. So they got Ozzy at 2 and
crazy.
Alice Cooper at 3.
Oh
yeah.
My God, I did not
incredible.
Know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
WWE was hella metal.
Yeah, at some point we'll do a WrestleMania 2 episode.
Cindy
yeah. WrestleMania 1.
She was at 1.
That was my favorite.
Yeah.
So they changed genres big time.
Whatever.
So Alice, screw the pop, we're going metal.
Dude, Cindy Lauper is metal as fuck, you guys. Fuck
yeah.
So Alice Cooper was there, and I mean, to me, honestly, like that was sort of the story of the match. You were sort of like, I know at some point. I know Jake's going to win because he's got Alice Cooper in his corner.
You thought. Yeah.
Well, yeah, right. Yeah, that's true. I was just like, I'm kind of waiting for Alice Cooper to do something weird, right? And he did at the end. He got the snake out.
Yeah.
Right? So yeah. Honky won.
Jake's snake. He didn't whip his penis out. He got Jake's snake
He got
out.
Jake's penis out.
Right.
I really need to watch WrestleMania 3.
Yeah, unfortunately, Lars Sullivan didn't have a match back then.
I didn't appreciate that.
But yeah, Honky won, right?
Honky won by holding the ropes and pinning Jake.
Right.
By holding the ropes, the ref missed it, counted to 3. Honky goes on. Great finish because WWE needed more villains.
Yeah,
and totally. Honky gave them that next villain who would go on to become the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion of all time.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And then after that was when the molestation happened with the snake and Jimmy Hart.
What?
Yes.
Right.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, in the '80s, managers were routinely molested.
Yes.
By the baby faces.
Their pants were ripped off.
Yeah.
They were undressed.
Like literally molested.
They had that snake.
Like sexually molested.
No, I'm not saying sexually molested, but having a snake put it all over you is, I would consider that molestation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It happens.
It was disturbing.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It was an '80s thing.
We loved it.
We cheered it wildly.
Yes.
Okay, so now the main event. The reason people bought tickets.
Wait, did we skip the
to the
Sheik
Pontiac
match?
Silverdome?
We skipped the Sheik match.
Is the Iron Sheik versus Nikolai Volkov?
Oh, right. Yeah, exactly. The Sheik.
Well, Sheik and Volkov.
I had a whole fucking gimmick.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
You stepped on it.
God damn it.
Sorry.
Eddie.
Son
of a bitch. We should have worked this out beforehand. Yeah. Sheik routinely claims that he sold 93,173 tickets to the Pontiac Silverdome.
Allegedly.
And everyone was there to see him and Nikolai Volkoff versus the Killer Bees. The Killer Bees beat the great Brian Blair, sold out the Silverdome.
You guys, we do have WrestleMania 3 playing in the background.
Yeah. Yes, we do.
Didn't realize the Killer Bees actually had like bee pants on. It was it was adorable.
They were and so awesome. And at one point they had masks,
yeah,
too.
I enjoyed that very much.
You were a bad motherfucker if you dressed like a bee.
Right. They even had...
When I was like 4, I dressed like a bee for Halloween and I was like unstoppable.
The blind melons.
Yeah. Would you like to talk about Nikolai and Sheik's entrance?
About their entrance?
Yes.
You mean with the Russian national anthem?
Well, the Soviet national anthem.
Well. And then he would go on with more when he really wanted to go full shit heel.
He sang the whole song.
But he
he's seen the next verse.
And he would do the whole thing. But there was more to that, but he rarely did that, so I don't know that as well as I know that first part, obviously.
And then you would hear...
That was perfect Russian, by the way.
Then you would hear, Iran, number one,
yes.
USA, ha!
Yes, Iron Sheik would go into his gimmick.
Then he sneezed?
No, yes. He'd spit.
Spit.
Oh, that sounded like...
They were the greatest heels because it was like, okay. I mean, this is 1987, so you got a dude singing the Soviet national anthem of all things.
During the Cold War.
And a dude waving an Iranian flag, like you wanted them dead.
Yeah.
Like you literally wanted to kill them.
And that's why in this match, Hacksaw Jim Duggan was the perfect foil.
Yeah.
Because here he comes with fucking red, white, and blue, Old Glory, his 2x4. He's going to whoop ass on these fucking commies.
Yeah.
And instead, he just kind of made the Killer Bees lose by disqualification.
Jim Brunzel is the Hacksaw?
No, Jim Brunzel is one of the Killer Bees.
Oh, I thought you said he had that. Thing. Sorry.
No.
My bad. So
it
I
happens.
Was laughing too hard at your thing and then I just got distracted.
And this is, I don't remember who won this match. I don't remember.
The Sheik and Volkoff
Sheik
by
Volkoff,
DQ.
Okay.
Because Hacksaw was a dummy and came into the ring with his fucking 2x4, laid out Sheik,
right,
disqualified him.
Promoting this bitch for fucking 20 or
right.
30
and this was, you know what? This was
winning?
Sheik, if you watch Sheik in his old stuff, that dude could work. I mean, he was a badass.
Oh, Sheik was a badass, dude.
And it, not too long after this is when he got in trouble, right? When he got busted with Hacksaw, didn't he?
Yeah, they were doing coke together.
No, I thought it was weed. Wasn't it weed?
Oh, maybe it was weed. I thought it was coke.
They got pulled over.
Is it the pot?
The pot. Was not legal then.
They got busted. They got pulled over like in upstate New York.
And they're supposed to fucking hate each other.
Right, they're supposed to... That, and they
it was like Iran versus USA hanging out in a car together doing coke or weed or whatever the fuck.
And they got fired for that, not for the coke. Or the weed, whatever it
yes.
was. Yeah, they got fired for babyface and heel.
Much
driving.
Like Serena Deeb getting fired for being in a bar when she's supposed to be straight edge. That shit happened in 87.
Right,
Sheik and
Hacksaw. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Did you ever see the video where... It wasn't after that, but she had been arrested before, maybe 85. He got in trouble for something, and his lawyer apparently asked Sheik to have some guys from WWE do like a video.
Oh, dude, yes, I did see
that. Sort
of
like vouching for him as like
yes.
a good guy. And
yes.
he went and got...
Guys from WWE.
Yeah, WWE guys. So he gets Bobby the Brain, who actually took it seriously,
yeah.
right? And he was like, yeah,
he
he's a good guy,
yeah.
you know? And this is for a judge to see, and I forget who else, but Fred Blassie did the whole thing in character.
Yeah,
like he was fucking
yeah.
the Sheik over.
No.
Yeah, yeah, like he did it. In, like Fred Blassie was old school; like he would not break character.
Yeah.
Like it was awesome. If
he
you guys
have,
if you guys haven't seen this, go on YouTube. It was incredible. It's the great. I think if you just search like, I don't know, Iron Sheik going to jail video or something. I
yeah,
don't know.
And Mean Gene Okerlund speaks on his behalf too.
Yeah, and Mean
yeah.
Gene kind of was like keeping it real too, but
yeah,
Blassie
he
fucked him up.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Blassie was nothing but trouble.
Yeah, who actually managed him.
I guarantee it was a rib too. He was like,
Yeah, fucking you know? Buried him. I'll send this motherfucker
that's
to jail.
That's my geek.
Well, and the reason that I even know who Iron Sheik is, I mean, I wasn't around here. He's way before my time. But he became a bit of a whackpacker on Howard Stern.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he was.
We saw him in L.A., remember?
Yeah, we did.
With Eric the Midget, yes, and I think Beetle was there.
Yeah, that's amazing. And now to you, the real story. Bigger, badder, better. Hulk Hogan versus Andre.
And this is, like you said earlier, with it's Bobby the biggest Heenan, match. Apparently. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Managing Andre.
Yeah, Heenan was always up to no good. So behind you on the TV, that match is on right now, which is cool.
Oh,
yeah, yes.
They're hugging. Oh,
yeah, yeah, that's so cute.
This was, I mean, what else? I don't. What else you say? It was the biggest match of all time, right?
Not the greatest match of all time.
Oh fuck! It was like the worst.
But the biggest.
Yeah, the biggest match.
Highly promoted.
Yeah.
Oh, I just wanted Irving, because we've talked multiple times off air about how Hulk is. Not good. He's actually not a good wrestler.
No, I never said he wasn't a good wrestler. No.
So, like, I mean, why was this such a great match when...
Well, no. We're not arguing that. It's not
a great match. Yeah, no. We're not saying it's a good match. We're saying it's a big match. But okay. Hogan was... I never said that Hogan was a bad wrestler.
False.
Hogan did... No. If you watch some of his Japan shit... or even his match with Macho at 5, Hogan could wrestle.
He could.
He just didn't, because he didn't have to.
He didn't have
to. He kept
there wasn't
simple.
Much he had to do. Yeah.
Right. He just could.
Oh, good. One more thing for me to not like about him.
Like, he could pose and get a better reaction from the crowd than he could if he had done, like, a moonsault. If he could, right?
A typical Hogan match was over at the beginning, sell your ass off during the middle portion of the match, Hulk up and go over.
Yeah. I mean, it was very formulaic.
Yeah, but very much so.
And we loved him for it.
We did.
Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, this was the biggest match of all time. And I mean, just watching it, it's like, even looking at it right now with it on the TV behind you, like, Andre was so fucking big, dude. He looks like a big, like, giant, huge statue or something.
Yeah.
I mean, he was incredible.
Like, they called him the immovable object, and it's not far off of what he actually was.
Yeah.
I wish I watched this when I was little, because, like, honestly, like, looking at it now, all I see is, like, a douchebag versus a really sad human being. Like, you know, like, I mean, it's not pleasant for me.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, Hogan is a douche, and I feel just like I want to cry.
I think the biggest thing about this match, besides, you know, Hogan going over, was right at the beginning, he goes to slam Andre. Andre falls on him.
Yes.
His shoulders were down for the whole three count.
Yeah. And
this is not a Greedo Han who shot first,
right?
Really, so if you just watch the movie, you can tell.
Yes.
This shouldn't even be a discussion.
Right.
But this was Hogan's. Shoulders were down the whole time. And so, I don't know if it was Hogan. I think Hogan was hearing the count wrong, and it might have been to do with the size of the stadium.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I think he thought 3 was 2.
And they really called his ass out on this shit, too. Because
A
few Saturday Night's Main Events and a few Saturday morning wrestling shows made a huge deal of Morella missing that 3 count.
Right.
That Hogan should have been down.
Totally. Yeah.
So this was for a title.
Oh, heavyweight title. Yeah.
Or maybe
title.
And then who had it?
Hogan.
Or maybe I'm wrong.
And then
maybe
Hogan won.
Yes.
Yeah. He
retained.
Maybe it wasn't Hogan fucking up. Maybe it was a way to protect Andre. Because you're right. They did mention it.
It wasn't something
they just kind of didn't acknowledge. Maybe it was a way to protect Andre. Like, no, Andre did pin him. Like when Hogan pinned Warrior.
Yeah.
After the ref bump.
Yes.
You know, maybe it was that kind of situation.
Well, and look, this did lead on to more Hogan versus Andre.
Yeah.
So that very well could have been to protect Andre to actually make future matches.
To go for the next year.
Believable that, Andre still has a chance of beating Hogan because
he beat
him right at the beginning of that match.
Yeah.
So what we talked earlier about how you guys watch it fairly live, not live, but you rented, you know.
Yes.
So these are both faces, if I'm not...
No, Andre was heel.
Andre went
heel. He turned heel going into this.
So were you both totally... Pro Hogan.
Oh, 100%.
Duh.
Yeah,
100%. Because the Andre heel turn was completely unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
Andre was the biggest.
When did Andre turn heel?
Like a few months before this match.
Like
it happened on Piper's
December?
Pit, actually.
December, January?
Okay. It was a series of Piper's Pits where Jesse Ventura was teasing something big's coming down. And then the ultimate Piper's Pit episode where Andre turned heel, Bobby Heenan came out. And then Andre came out with him. And you're like, what the fuck is Andre doing with Heenan?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then he ripped Hogan's cross
off
of him.
Hogan even said that. What are you doing with him?
Yes.
And he's with Heenan now, right now.
Yes.
So Heenan was a heel manager.
Oh, yeah.
And
he had the Heenan family.
And Heenan had his hands in everything.
Everything. Okay. Yeah. Anything heel related, Heenan was at the middle of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Andre came out with Heenan. And you're like, oh, shit.
And you're 8. So you're like, yes, face all the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but it was incredible. It was incredible.
The way that they built it up was great. And doing it over the Piper's Pit was fantastic.
And right before it, like a month before, they had a Saturday Night's main event, and there was a Battle Royal, right?
Yes.
And Andre eliminated Hogan for the Battle Royal. Because you're like, oh, fuck. Like, Andre's got this.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, yeah.
That made you think he was going to beat him at
three. Right. It was perfect booking.
It was great booking.
Perfect
booking. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And now to talk about the actual main event. Little Beaver, Hillbilly Jim, Handy Kid versus defeated King Kong Bundy, Little Tokyo, and Lord Littlebrook. DQ, actually.
That's the real main event.
That's the match we all watched it for. I went to the video store to get it for that match.
93-173 filled the Silver Dome for that match.
So who
for Beaver.
So who were little people? Everyone that says little?
Little, yeah, well, duh.
Little Tokyo.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, were other people as well?
And King Kong was the big guy.
Yeah.
I know who King Kong Bundy is. Not
yeah, so Little Hillbilly. Beaver.
Little Haiti, Tokyo.
Haiti Kid.
Well, Lord Littlebrook could also
And be. Little Tokyo.
No, yeah. Little Beaver, Little Tokyo, and Lord Littlebrook were all little people?
Yes.
So it was Haiti
little
Kid.
People. Oh, and Haiti. So there's two little people, and then Hillbilly Jump. And then two little people in King Kong Bundy.
Yeah, right. So it was Hillbilly Jim, and then Haiti Kid and Little Beaver versus King Kong Bundy with his two little people, Lord Littlebrook and Little Tokyo.
Which, we're talking about a match from 87, I think we can say midgets.
Well,
right?
That's what they called him during the match.
Yeah, so I mean, I think that's also...
To speak from a historical perspective.
Well, let's be honest, no midgets listen to this fucking show.
I doubt it.
So we're not going to offend anyone with that word.
I don't think so.
I don't think any midgets have an iPhone.
Dude, you know...
Midgets and women don't listen to the show.
You know Eric...
Yo, yeah. No,
you know Eric the Midget would totally listen to the show and not got it at all.
That's true. No, he's right. Women do not listen to the show because...
No, we know.
Anymore.
Right, but...
The one did once.
She
hated it.
I meant to mention this...
She hated it. She never downloaded it again.
I meant to mention this a week ago that... So with the podcast, you can look at your stats, right? You can look, and we don't have the advanced stats, but you can look at some stats. Oh, and so at one point, I could see that in the last 30 days, 6% of our downloads came from women. And then if you change it to 7 days, it was 0% of downloads came from women. And I was like, oh, shit, I guess she didn't like it.
That might have been Shannon.
No, Shannon keeps downloading it. No, I don't know who this bitch was.
Well, I deleted it.
Anyway, yeah, that's the main event of the show, is that match with the midgets. And first of all, sometimes you forget how fucking big Hillbilly Jim was.
He was a big dude.
He was a fucking giant.
Yeah, he was towering over Bundy in that match.
Yeah, he was tall as fuck.
Taller.
I don't know who Hillbilly Jim is.
He was the guy in the overalls in the match earlier that had like the country music playing.
Yeah, he's like foot 6'7".
Foot 6'7".
Yeah.
And he was taller than Bundy. Like, Bundy was more, like, heavy. Mm. Hillbilly Jim was tall and muscular.
And it was a garbage
He had girth.
The match was garbage. I mean, there was nothing to it. It was just shit. The midgets got in there. They did the regular midget spots where they bump into each other and they do the stupid-ass rowboat, which, like, that kind of rowboat doesn't hurt. I'll tell you about a different rowboat later that hurts.
Okay.
But I don't want to talk about that on the air.
It's very uncomfortable.
But it was nonsense. It was just complete trash.
Well, and the midgets couldn't get in with the big men. That was the whole thing.
So
with the match.
Whole thing was right. So if you were a midget and Bundy got tagged in, you had to tag out, right?
Right.
So like,
oh, like a mixed tag.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what was weird about it was, you remember Bundy being a dickhead in the match, but really Little Beaver was the asshole of this match.
Yes, he was.
Little Beaver was a little punk bitch because
he asked for it.
He came in, he drop kicked Bundy, he hit him. Beaver started it.
He was even squaring off with Bundy. Like,
yeah, right. No, he's a little prick.
He started it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so Bundy was defending himself, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
And then they DQ him for it.
Well, right. And then Euchre saying there was Beaver all over the place. Like, that was disgusting. Euchre working fucking blue at WrestleMania 3. I'm a child listening to this. I don't need to hear your dirty jokes.
Was that a pussy joke?
I believe it was.
Okay, yeah.
Euchre working blue.
Right.
Shocking.
Good for him.
And then King Kong Bundy smashing Little Beaver in the match.
It was incredible.
Also disgusting. Disgusting. But that was the DQ finish. Hillbilly and his two midgets win over Bundy and his two midgets.
Conflicting opinions. Disgusting and incredible.
And realistically, that's what Bundy will always be remembered for.
Way more than two.
More than he main evented two against Hogan in a fucking cage.
Yeah. Got color.
Exactly. But he'll always be remembered for body slamming and elbow dropping a beaver.
Fucking midget.
Smashing beaver.
And on that note, I think we're done.
That's what I want to be remembered for.
On that note, please do follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @wrestling_drunk. Sorry, it was too funny.
You're still laughing about smashing beaver.
I'm still fucking laughing, yeah. Also, be sure to hit subscribe wherever you listen to us if you enjoyed this show. Also, if you liked hearing a bunch of drunk idiots talk about wrestling, please leave us a review wherever you listen. It really does help, but the most helpful thing to do is to tell your friends about us. So, again, enjoy your buzz, watch wrestling responsibly, and remember, drink like nobody's watching. Cheers!
Cheers!
Dive!
Nostravia!
I'm gonna jack it where the sun always shines.
He's gonna jack it.
Been spreading the word and now I need to ease my mind.
Jacking it.
Been planting them apple seeds and while the apples grow, I'm gonna go out jacking it in San Diego.
Jacking it, jacking it, jacking it, jack. Spanking it, spanking it, smack.
I don't need no shirt, no. Gonna take them pants right off.
He's about to jack it.
On such a bright day, who needs underwear or socks?
Jacking it.
Been around God's country, and there's one thing I know. There's no better place for jacking it than San Diego.
Jacking, jacking, jacking it, jack. Spanking it, smacking it, smack. Jacking it, jacking it, jacking it, jack.
Jacking, spanking it, spanking it, smack.
Come to San Diego, there's so much to see. From the sparkling waters of Mission Bay to the warm tortillas of Old Town. And after a day of sightseeing, why not try spanking it in one of our charming city streets? San Diego, come, take a load off.
Jacking it, jacking it, jacking it, jack. Spanking it, smacking it, smack. Whacking it, whackity, whack. Spanking it, jerking it, smackity, smack.
The cars are passing me by, they honk and say hello.
Hey, that guy's jacking it.
From his window, there's a guy shooting video.
Video of him jacking it.
And if good Lord Jesus comes knocking on my door, just tell him that I'm jacking it in San Diego.
Jacking it, jacking it, jacking it, jack. Spanking it, smacking it, smack.
He's about to jack it.
Jacking it, jack, jacking it, jacking it. Whacking, whacking, spank, whack, spanking it, whack.
Look at me, I'm jacking.
Whacking, jacking, jack, whacking it, whack. Whacking, spanking, spanking, whacking, whack, stacking it.
He's about to jack it.
San Diego, jack, jack, whacking it, whack. Whacking, San Diego, whacking it, whack.
Keep on whacking.